We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
This is the Dale and Keith Show.
For the first time in their history, the St. Louis Blues are the Stanley Cup champions.
What the f***?
Dale Arnold.
Never get over this. Over 13, it starts more than that.
Rich Keith.
The series is over. And the St. Louis Blues are the Stanley Cup champions.
You're going to find me dead.
Regardless of what happens tonight after the game, they're certainly champions in our eyes.
I'm going to be hanging from the back.
Dale and Keith.
Dunsky.
On the WEEI Sports Radio Network.
Well, that sucked.
Oh, boy. Dale, how are you feeling?
I didn't expect they were going to lose, obviously.
No.
I knew that it was at least a possibility they could lose. It's a athletic contest, two teams, seventh game.
There was a chance.
I did not think there was a chance the Bruins would lay an egg.
They did. They absolutely laid an egg. That was awful. That wasn't even one of those games where, you know, third period, you're on the edge of your seat and you're freaking out and it's, you know, the ups and downs of it. It was just downs. They didn't have it. 2-0 after the first period. And they actually outplayed St. Louis in the first period, but they're down 2-0. Second period kind of came and went, nothing really going on. And then the Blues just put you away in the third, and you're like, what happened? What happened with the Bruins? And you know what my concern was that Patrice Bergeron saved the greatest pregame speech in the history of pregame speeches for game 6. And then in game 7, they had nothing. You can't go back to, "Hey guys, remember what I said before? Play like that again." Same stuff. And so they went out there, and nobody played well. I mean, it's a tough thing to do. It's hard to win a game when nobody plays well.
There are a lot of things that you're going to be able to point to, and we'll do that throughout the course of the program today. There are a lot of reasons that you can list for why the Bruins did not have a Stanley Cup championship skate last night. But let's start with giving the St. Louis Blues some credit. They were really good last night. In game 7, they were really good. The minute they went up 2-0, they turned into the New Jersey Devils of the late 80s. And it was that left wing lock. I mean, five guys back. They were impenetrable once they got to the 2-0 lead.
Well, I'll say Binnington was really good because in the first period, the Bruins did have a lot of shots. Now, I don't know
how. They outshot them 12-4 in the first and were down 2 Cobb.
I don't know how challenging all those shots were. I still go back to, Bruins are on the power play about midway through the first period, and Brad Marchand gets a shot, like an uncontested shot, and they showed the replay of it, and the whole left side of the net is wide open. And where does Brad Marchand go? Dead middle. Goes dead middle right into Binnington. That one
hit him right square in the crest.
Got him. You got him. If he goes a little bit higher, even if he goes right in the middle and he goes a little bit higher, it's a goal. He goes anywhere to the left, it's a goal. And for a 100-point scorer and what the guy who I thought was the best player, the skater anyway, in the series, and one of the best skaters in the entire NHL, you got to bury it there. And if they go up 1-0, like we said, much different story for the Bruins to go up than for the Blues, because the Blues can kind of pack it in, play that style. So Binnington was good, but I also think the Bruins kind of were just throwing the puck right at him.
I think ultimately when the story of the Stanley Cup final lost is written, and believe me, I take no pleasure in saying this, there is no bigger Patrice Bergeron fan on the planet than me. Your top six forwards didn't show up.
They were horrible.
For 7 games, yeah. Your top six forwards, I guess in hindsight, now that you look back on it, the fact that you were in a game 7, despite the fact that you got next to nothing out of your top six forwards, is almost a miracle. Brad Marchand had 5 points in 7 games, was minus 2. Patrice Bergeron had 4 points in 7 games, was minus
yeah.
4.
Right.
David Pastrnak had 4 points in 7 games, was minus 7. Jake DeBrusk, 4 points in seven games. Exactly.
I haven't seen him at all in the whole postseason. Jake DeBrusk was horrible.
David Krejci, 2 points in seven games.
Useless.
I'll throw some defensemen in there as well.
All right.
Charlie McAvoy, 1 point minus five in seven games.
Minus five. Because they relied so much on the power play. And that's the other thing, is those, the top line that you went through, those numbers are bad alone, or bad enough. But then when you factor in how many of it was on the power play, I think also one of Marchand's two goals this series, one was on the power play, one I believe was an empty netter. So 5-on-5, the line that we thought, and at times was the best line in hockey, not only was not the best line in the series, wasn't even the best line on the team. 5-on-5, I think they had one goal, those three guys, in seven games. So they were so desperate to get a power play, and then they almost got away with it, too. I'm telling you, if Marchand scores midway through the first period, maybe it's a different game. Maybe they take the lead. Maybe the Blues have to play a little bit differently. Maybe it's all different. But they got completely dominated 5-on-5. And even with the goals on the power play, it wasn't even enough.
And ultimately it always happens at the end of a season, at the end of any playoff series, you hear, oh, well, this guy had that problem,
I don't care about that.
No, I don't either.
Yeah, yeah. Oh, well, you will. You'll hear all that stuff.
Oh, no, it'll come out. I've never seen David Pastrnak so inept at shooting a one-timer.
Do you think he has...
He must have whiffed on three last night.
Last night, completely whiffed. Do you think he has an eyesight issue?
I don't know.
He's got some issue, because this is not a new thing either. This postseason run... He looked lost out there at times. I mean, you remember, he got jumped down to the second line, pushed down to the third line. There was talks about, I mean, I even suggested maybe even sitting him for a game. This is earlier in the postseason. Then he kind of snapped out of it, but then he went right back to that same stuff where he's getting teed up for these shots and just whiffing on it. And that is, for a guy who is such a talented goal scorer in the regular season, that is really confusing. I don't understand where that comes from. I don't know. Maybe the physicality finally got to him, but I can't explain that with Pastrnak.
All of the stuff, let's say that there are injuries. We'll play the game.
Well, the Blues are hurt too.
Let's play the game, okay? Yep. Let's say Pastrnak's thumb is hurt and Marchand's hand is hurt and Bergeron's groin is hurt. Let's say all of that.
Okay.
Did they forget how to play in their own end?
Yeah, they did. Does that mean you have to come off the ice with 10 seconds to go in the first period?
No.
You need to skate off the ice because your hand hurts? No, come on. That was ridiculous. So that's the other thing.
And the minute that puck went in, I thought the game was over.
At 2-0, you did?
And by the way, the air in the building evaporated.
Wiped out.
In the building, the minute they scored that goal with 8 seconds left, it was like, oh, no.
So I thought that, and I was just hopeful, and because we said this yesterday, if the Bruins go up 2-0, the game is over. If the Blues go up 2-0, obviously a huge advantage for them, but the Bruins could fight back. And so the second period kind of comes and goes, and you're like, all right, well, there were some missed opportunities there. I thought if they scored in the first 5 minutes of the third period, made it 2-1, and specifically if Brad Marchand, who was awful in the game, if he scored, like what a boost that could be. And we've talked about how the team is 25-1 when Marchand scores a goal in the playoffs in his career. So if he was able to score, maybe get some energy back in there, you're only down by one and you have, 15 minutes or so to go. But once that first 5, 6, 7 minutes ticked by in the third period, I said, that's it. I go, Binnington is too locked in, and I don't think all of a sudden the Bruins are going to be able to snap out of it.
I mentioned this, and they were playing it a lot this morning on Mutt and Callahan. I mentioned it on the postgame show last night, that social media had already begun to crank up about the failures of Tuukka Rask.
You knew it was coming.
Now, first of all, I'll say in Mutt's defense, he doesn't get the same followers I get. He doesn't see the same social media that I get, because I started getting him in the first period of last night's game.
You have more followers than Mutt.
No, hockey people. people who follow hockey probably follow me more than they Mutt.
I would,
and they respond to me more than they would Mutt. So I get a lot of them. I started getting them in the first period last night. And Mutt started following the Bruins a week ago, so he might not understand all of this.
It was a big week.
It was a big week. It's already out there. Tuukka Rask is soft.
People are blaming Tuukka
Rask.
Yeah, people are blaming Tuukka.
I'm not sure how much blame I give him. And here's what they like to play on. Oh, yeah, 4 goals, 20 shots, 800 save percentage. He sucks!
Yeah, see, that's frustrating because I assume it's Game 7 Stanley Cup Final. You're watching the game, right? So if you're watching
the
game,
maybe they aren't.
They're just looking at the box score. Because you're right, because even in the first period, what was it? They had 2 goals in 10 shots or whatever it was. So yeah, the save percentage is trash.
It was really bad.
But I just think the way the goals happened, I think...
I mean, the tip by O'Reilly, what the hell are you going to do?
So I do think the second goal was Marchand's fault for the bad change. I think everybody acknowledges that. However...
You hope that your goaltender bails him out.
Can you make that save, right? If he stops Pietrangelo there, it's 1-0 going into the intermission. You outplayed them, you're still losing, but it's not 2-0. That just looks so much more daunting. So maybe he can make that save. We've seen him make better saves than that.
Sure.
I think
He made one in the game.
So I don't blame Tuca, and I've never one of these, you'll never win a cup with Tuca people. However, I think the thing that's the worst is not necessarily the 4 goals that were scored, but it was how good Jordan Binnington was. When the guy on the other side is playing out of his mind, then you say, well, how come this guy can't play out of his mind? Which he did in Game 6, by the way. But again, we forget about Game 6 because that was a couple of days ago.
Now, my hockey analysts last night, both Billy Jaffe and Barry Peterson said he was gettable in the first period. He was giving up rebounds.
Yeah, he was.
You know, he was not playing the puck especially well. Now, he had a couple of unbelievable saves, but he was out of position.
Yeah.
He wasn't where he was supposed
to be. They were shooting it right at him a lot of times.
And they were shooting it at him. I'm not trying to take anything away from Binnington because he, you know, was a huge part of them winning the cup and especially winning Game 7. But I think the Bruins kind of made it easier for him in the first period.
Oh, I don't doubt that they did.
Because he was there for the taking in the first, and they didn't take it.
Yeah, no, they definitely had their opportunities. Again, that Marchand power play chance stands out to me the most, but there were definitely some other ones out there. And this is a guy that we saw get pulled in Game 3. Like, I still am not convinced that Jordan Binnington is this great goalie. Like, if all of a sudden next year plays out...
A lot of people in hockey say that exact same thing.
If he gets benched next year, would that shock anybody? But like, I don't even know if he's the number one goalie. Now, he's the cup-winning goalie. Like, Jordan freaking Binnington just won the cup.
Yep.
And the St. Louis Blues just won the cup. And I just... That's not... What I don't think anybody anticipated going into the year, even halfway through the year, even getting into the playoffs. And I know they were a good team in the second half, but that was because they had to be, because they dug themselves such a ridiculous hole, and then they were able to snap out of it. And they definitely are a better team than I thought they were going into the series.
I'm absolutely guilty of that.
I did not give them enough credit.
I am absolutely guilty. I agree
with you. But I also gave the Bruins too much credit. I think the Bruins beat some bad teams on the way to the cup final, and it built up my confidence more than it should have. Because that top line is not the best line in hockey. If they were, they would have won this series. That's, I think, the bottom line.
Yeah, and
I blame those guys way more than Tuca. The problem is there's only one goalie, there's 12 forwards, and there's 6 defensemen. But I think if you say, why did they lose, it's because of Bergeron, Marchand, and Pastrnak.
Bruce Cassidy said post-game last night that Tuukka Rask was their best player in the playoffs.
I agree.
And he was.
I agree.
If the Bruins had somehow found a way to win last night, he was going to be a unanimous choice for Conn Smythe as playoff MVP. There were those making an argument before the game that if they lost, he should get votes for playoff MVP.
And I know they play, 24 games. I do wonder if it was... If they lost 2-1, I wonder if Tuukka still would have grabbed it.
He might have.
But the fact that, you know, Ryan O'Reilly was... he scored the first goal of the game. He had a really good playoff. And it's just easier. Let's face it. It's easier to vote for somebody on the winning team than it is on the losing team.
Sure.
So I'm not surprised.
And by the way, Ryan O'Reilly was really good. Very good choice.
Well, that's the other problem, too. Ryan O'Reilly is a good player. I don't know if he... And maybe... I don't know. Maybe he's a great player, but he's not an elite upper echelon player. But he was the best skater on the ice in the series. And so that should have been in favor of the Bruins. It should have either been Bergeron as the best player, Marchand as the best player, maybe even an outside chance. Pastrnak should have been one of those guys. Or Krejci. Like, we still go back to 2011 and how dominant Krejci was in the playoffs. Like, the guy was a machine in the playoffs. Disappeared. Those guys weren't there. And the third and fourth lines, which have been so good for the Bruins throughout the entire playoffs, those guys can also only do so much. Like, at some point, you need the top guys to be the top guys.
I know that St. Louis just had a record-breaking run on the road in the Stanley Cup playoffs. I understand that. But the Bruins were a good home ice team all season long. One of the best home ice teams in the National Hockey League. For them to lose 3 of 4 in That's their insane. Building is inexcusable.
That is really amazing. I mean, how many times has that happened?
You can't. You can't lose 3 of 4 at home.
You can't. Because sometimes, you know, you'll see a really lopsided series and there's a sweep. So that means, you know, you won 2 games on the other team's ice. But to have a back and forth series, a series that goes 7 and then the home team loses 3 times. That's why yesterday we were talking when we had Andrew Raycroft in and, you know, he was saying, well, the edge is for the Bruins because they're at home. I'm like, but not for the Blues. Like, the Blues have proven throughout the playoffs, like, you almost forget what the Bruins are at home. The Blues were so good on the road that just going into the last 2 games, based on what they had done the first 3 rounds of the playoffs, they had a better chance of clinching it on the road than they did at home in Game 6.
They were sub 500 on their home ice this year in the playoffs. The Blues were. And they won 10 road games.
They
were
so many
6-7
yeah.
at home
yeah.
and 10-3 on the road in the playoffs.
They did so many things that you would think are just you can't do and win the cup. Right? Like this is a team that has a rookie goaltender who, you know, but not even like one of these like phenomenal. He's not like the number one right. pick in the draft. Like kind of like he's a guy who's been bouncing around and was playing for the Providence Bruins for God's sakes last year. You have that. You have a team that isn't the most skilled. You can't score at all on the power play. Like their power play was 2011 Bruins power play, which was so rare for a team to win. And then on top of that, you can't win games at home. Like, oh yeah, that's fine. You'll still win the cup. Crazy.
One of the narratives going into Game 7 was, you know, how the Blues were going to play. They were just going to kill people. They were going to take people
not
out.
Not at all.
Not a bit. I had no issue.
The cleanest game they played.
I had no issue with how they played. I had no issue with how the game was officiated. There was one power play, and they had to call it. He shot the puck over the glass.
Puck in the net, or the crowd. So.
Had no issues with the officiating. Had no issues with how the Blues played Game 7. Ironically, it was the cleanest game they played in the whole series.
They had a couple of big hits. Was it I forget who hit it, Bergeron. Just absolutely crushed him, but it was a clean hit. And, yeah, that was a bit of a surprise. I think part of that is because the Blues took the lead. So they had the lead.
Right, and they were not going to do anything stupid
no.
at that point.
And they know. It was pretty obvious. 5-on-5, this series, they were better than the Bruins. You know, Game 6, finally the Bruins snapped out of it. They scored some goals 5-on-5. But overall, if you take the 7 games into account, as long as the Blues didn't have to kill off a bunch of penalties, they were probably going to win, which I certainly didn't see going in.
Your best defenseman in the Stanley Cup Final was Torrey Krug. Mm. Your best forward in the Stanley Cup Final was Sean Corrali. No disrespect meant to those guys. In fact, appreciation for those guys.
Shouldn't be the case.
You can't have that be the case on this team.
No, you absolutely can't.
I mean, I love how Torrey Krug, you know, competed and worked. I love everything about Sean Corrali's game. He can't be your best forward and win a Stanley Cup final.
Nope, that's frustrating. I mean, that is frustrating. You know, Charlie Coyle had the most goals for the team in the Cup final. Again, I like Charlie Coyle. Who doesn't like Charlie Coyle? But again, there should be a handful of other guys that have more goals than Coyle does. And Corrali was right up there. Nordstrom might even have been one of the best forwards they had.
It was tremendous.
Like, he was great.
Your third and fourth lines yeah. gave you everything you could possibly hope for. If you had gotten anything out of your first and second lines, you've got a Stanley Cup. In fact, you're probably not even at Game 7. You've probably won the Cup in 5 or 6 if you got anything out yeah. of your top two lines.
I think, and I know a lot of people are going to want to go Tuukka, and we can talk about Tuukka all day if you want. I think the bigger question is not can you win a cup with Tuukka Rask as your goalie, but can you win a cup with Bergeron, Marchand, Pastrnak as your top line?
Yes.
That I think you can? Oh, we haven't seen it yet.
No, I think that's the
question.
No, absolutely. Now, they no-showed in this final.
Well, that's what I'm saying.
Absolutely
I don't know
did.
If you can.
I don't know why. I can't give you an explanation. I don't know if they can give you an explanation.
I'm not saying
they
get rid of those
so
guys.
Good
I'm just
all
saying,
season.
Yeah, but not when it mattered the most.
Nope.
And I'm saying can you... I'm not saying get rid of any of them. I'm just saying, do you move Pastrnak down to a line with Krejci?
Oh,
do you get somebody
Wiggy
bigger
this morning
to play?
Wants, let's see. Wiggy's blueprint for success.
Are we going with that right now already?
Well, I'll just say, Chara's got to retire.
Well, I figured that was on his list.
It's time to trade Bergeron.
Nope. Let me stop you right there.
He likes Pastrnak.
Oh,
but, you know,
why? Based on what?
I don't know.
Regular season, I guess he was good. No, I
oh,
just,
yeah,
I
and
wonder,
trade Krejci.
No, I just wonder... When you get to the playoffs, and this could be I want all those guys still on the team, but my question is, when it gets a little bit more physical, and if you run into a team like that, or like Tampa Bay last year.
That might be the only team like that this year in the playoffs.
But Tampa Bay last year shut them down.
No, but I meant the physical part.
I know, but I'm just saying, Pastrnak was definitely not great the entire postseason run.
Yep.
So do you want to, so Bergeron and Marchand, they should definitely play together, but do you want to get maybe a more physical guy who also has some skill and play with those guys? Maybe they don't get pushed around as much, and then Pastrnak can play with Krejci and then find them another guy that's a little bit bigger. Something along those lines.
John Buchegras from ESPN will join us at 11:30 this morning. We'll discuss the St. Louis Blues Stanley Cup championship because it's the first in their history. Good for them.
No, not good
City
for them.
Did you see how many people showed up at Busch Stadium in the pouring rain sit outside and watch this thing?
Why on earth would you do that? You don't have TVs? You don't have TVs at your house? You can't watch the game at home?
Well, yeah, but
you can't go to a buddy's house?
Yeah, but you never want to leave your house, though. You're
not
the
friend
guy.
Over. If I really wanted to enjoy it with somebody, invite them over. They don't have bars in St. Louis. Hey, let's go to the baseball stadium and sit in the rain and watch it on the jumbo screen, which probably isn't even that big, by the way.
Biggest bar in town, they said.
That's so stupid. I wouldn't
really
be
expensive
there.
Beers, too, right?
Yeah, probably.
Go sit in a ballpark and buy $13 beers.
That was miserable. That was miserable.
$13 Bud Lights.
Now, this is going to sound kind of, I don't know what the word is, elitist, maybe. And this is true. And I don't want to start like a whole thing, but I would rather not win the cup than live in St. Louis. Like, it's just awful. I'm not even trying to be funny. And I'm not like, oh, yeah, St. Louis is awful. It's awful. Like, I've been to St. Louis. It's terrible. And if those were the choices, like, hey, you can live in St. Louis and be the cup champion or not win the cup. Yeah, I'm going to not win the cup and live in any other place in the world. That's it.
You'd rather live in Winnipeg than St.
100%.
Louis.
Winnipeg? Love Winnipeg. No,
I've never been to
Winnipeg.
You might want to walk that one back a little bit.
Any other place in the United States?
Oh, okay.
How's that?
617-779-7937 is the telephone number. You were also, unfortunately, you were denied the opportunity to see me show up at work today with half a snootful.
I was surprised.
Because, I mean, let's be honest.
I thought maybe you'd have, like, the angry drinks after, like, the angry, sad drinks.
I went home. Actually,
you're a happy drinker.
I got home the earliest I've gotten home after a Stanley Cup final game. The game was quick.
Yeah.
It was over at, like, 10:30.
It did kind of scoot.
We didn't exactly linger in the post-game show. You know, we did all the stuff we had to do.
Well, some of you guys did. Some of you, I know, maybe weren't there.
617-779-7937 is the telephone number. John Buchegras at 11:30. We'll dive right into the calls with you coming up next after we...
Selling a little or a lot? Shopify helps you do your thing, however you cha-ching. Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage, to the first real-life store stage, all the way to the did we just hit a million orders stage. Shopify is here to help you grow. Whether you're selling scented soap or offering outdoor outfits, Shopify helps you sell everywhere. From their all-in-one e-commerce platform to their in-person POS system, wherever and whatever you're selling, Shopify's got you covered. Shopify helps you turn browsers into buyers with the internet's best converting checkout. 15% better on average compared to other leading commerce platforms. And sell more with less effort thanks to Shopify Magic, your AI-powered all-star. Shopify powers 10% of all e-commerce in the U.S. And Shopify is the global force behind Allbirds, Rothy's, and Brooklinen, and millions of other entrepreneurs of every size across 175 countries. Plus, Shopify's award-winning 24/7 help is there to support your success every step of the way. Because businesses that grow, grow with Shopify. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/odysseypodcast, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/odysseypodcast now to grow your business, no matter what stage you're in. shopify.com/odysseypodcast.
Trend.
Shocker at the Garden as the Bees fall to the Blues in the Stanley Cup Final 4-1. React and talk about it right here. Now back to Dale and Keith on Boston Sports Station, WEEI.
I don't know. They chipped it in, and I thought that guy was by himself, so went for a change, and there's a couple more guys jumping up and play. I didn't see the replay, but yeah. Drive, you know, they just took our dream, our lifetime.
dream from us, and you know, everything we've worked for our entire lives, and it's 60 minutes away from that. I can't describe it.
It sounded a lot like that all over the Bruins dressing
Everybody,
room last night.
Yeah.
We'll play Matt Grizzlick in a little bit. He might have been as devastated. They were all devastated.
I was going to say, McAvoy.
He could barely get through trying to talk. Chara was the first guy to stand at his locker after the game and answered every question.
Right.
Eyes red, obviously, you know, pretty broken up.
Yeah, so tough. I mean, they were all, at least all the guys that I saw, very obviously professional about it, but you could tell, I mean, whether it was Tuca, McAvoy, you just heard from Marshawn there. I mean, these guys took it as hard as you possibly could, which is, on the one hand, you're like, the performance that they had, and I'm not saying that they just laid down right away, but it wasn't what you expected from them, and then clearly they were all really beaten up over it, but it was like, I don't know what they expected, like, with how they played, you weren't really going to get different results. And yet they all, it was like they expected to win or something, or somebody else was going to come through with the big play.
And
I don't know what
just
it was.
Threw a stink bomb out there last night.
Yeah. Yeah, one of their worst games.
It was the
definitely worst game of the series for them.
That they lost doesn't shock me. It's a game. And, you know, that can happen. St. Louis was in the seventh game of the Stanley Cup final for a reason. That the Bruins put up that kind of performance just shocked me.
I mean, to be down at 1.4-0 in your building in a game seven is just absolutely staggering. I mean, it's just, you didn't anticipate that at all. You're right. Like you said, if the Blues win, maybe they find a way to eke out a, you know, a one goal win, or they score two with an empty netter or something like that. And that's it. And, you know, they beat them that night, but no, they just beat them soundly, you know, throughout the entire game.
The Athletic put up the grades for all of the players in the Stanley Cup final. Scott Burnside did the St. Louis Blues. Pierre LeBrun did the Boston Bruins. Just a couple of grades for the Bruins from Pierre LeBrun. Tuukka Rask, A+. Torrey Krug.
A+?
Yep.
I don't know about that.
He said, you can't really fault him. He's got a whole paragraph here.
Yeah.
Can't really fault him in Game 7 despite the loss. The Blues put on a defensive clinic en route to winning the Cup. He said,
I think that's an easy grader.
He said he remained his consistent self throughout the Cup final, but it's his Game 6 performance that will be most remembered in this series. Rask shut the door, especially in the opening half of the game when the Blues were all over the Bruins at 5-on-5.
I guarantee you his Game 6 win is not going to be remembered. They lost the Cup. How on earth are you going to remember that? That doesn't make any sense. How is 13 remembered? For how well he played?
17 seconds.
Yes, thank you.
A couple of other grades. Torrey Krug, A+.
I mean, we're just giving out A+.
Sean Corrali, A. Brandon Carlo, A. Those are your A's, by the way. That's it.
I mean, I'm fine giving out some A's, I guess. Because, I mean, again, they did win three games in the series. But, my God, you can't be an A+ for the losing goaltender. It can't possibly be the case. If he was an A+, they would have won the series.
A couple of others here. Charlie Coyle, B+. Marcus Johansson, B+. Joakim Nordstrom, B+.
Oh, he was better than that.
Now, here's the problem. Is that when you get to Brad Marchand, B-?
B-?
Charlie McAvoy, B-.
I wish this guy was my teacher.
Patrice Bergeron, C.
Yeah, it was worse.
That's when you've got an issue.
Yeah.
When those players, David Krejci, C-, Danton Heinen, C-.
This guy's grading on a curve. Those guys
lowest
were Fs.
Grade is, no, they don't have any Fs.
Well, what are we doing?
His lowest grade is David Backes with a D.
I'll leave Backes alone. But, I mean, some of it has to be on expectation, too.
Sure.
Like, Backes wasn't a big factor in the series. Yeah, he also didn't play the last couple of games. Like, I've moved on from Backes. Like, you're not going to get anything out of Backes. I thought he was going to give you some physicality. I kind of wanted him to play more of the series. Didn't happen. They won a big game without him. Fine. He's not going to play. Giving him a D. So, based off of who they were going into the series, who was worse, David Pastrnak or David Backes? Again, you actually had some expectation.
Pastrnak
should score a goal or two for you and not be a -7. He was much worse. So I would take like a letter grade down on everybody there. Those C's are probably D's or F's.
Danton Heinen not being an F is out of control.
Yeah, like I don't know what are we doing?
You're wrong about that, by the way.
Why?
What did Danton Heinen do?
Danton Heinen played a lot better than you think he did. He was actually a key part of that third line being as effective as they were. He didn't have points. I understand that.
He's like Al Horford, Rossi. You got to understand.
Is he an all-star? 5-time?
No, not yet. Yeah, he had Zero goals, one assist in seven cup final games.
I understand. The Invisible Man.
The Invisible Man.
All right, let's get to the calls with you guys. We'll talk to John Buchegrass at 11:30, get his thoughts on the Stanley Cup final win by the St. Louis Blues last night here in Game 7. 617-779-7937. John is calling from St. Louis. Hey, John, how are you?
Good start.
I'm fine, guys. How are you doing? And okay. I'm not calling to gloat. It was a fantastic series all the way around, and I have to agree with the guy. I hate to hear what our grades would be. But first and foremost, on behalf of all the Cardinal and Blues fans, our prayers and thoughts are out to Big Poppy.
Okay.
Thank you.
Yeah. It's, you know, to see that happen to him, you know, I know he killed us in the World Series a few years ago, but he was definitely an MVP that year. But,
See, people of St. Louis are just genuinely nice people.
Yeah, they're too
That's
nice.
The problem.
They're too nice.
I mean, and I remember vividly when the Red Sox won the World Series in St. Louis.
Yeah.
And all the Red Sox fans who couldn't get tickets were outside the ballpark. And in the late innings, the security guards opening up the gate said, come on in. You guys need to see this. You come on into the park.
Yeah.
There's just too many nice people in St. Louis.
Yeah, you guys can't even celebrate properly.
You know, I mean, you should be gloating. Yeah. And then I was going to blow you up.
Right.
Now I can't blow you up.
And we didn't burn any cars. I couldn't believe it. So, but, you know, hats off to a great series, you know. But I think we were upset with you guys years ago when you didn't beat that hated Chicago team, the Blackhawks.
Yeah, so, it didn't do much for us either. But
they didn't do it.
See, now he ruined everything. I thought it was going to be a St. Louis fan calling to gloat, and he starts out with prayers for Big Poppy.
I mean, try to enjoy the win a little bit. See, they don't know. They don't know what it's like. They don't know. They can't. Rather than celebrate, they're talking about, you know, David Ortiz, which I guess is a nice sentiment. But enjoy your team's win.
The fact that that guy's sober and calling a Boston station is a major problem.
Because he lives in St. Louis.
And who said he was sober? You know, some people talk better than others.
That's true.
With a snootful. We were going to find out today how that was going to work out.
Tough start.
I hope our poet laureate.
Doug,
I hope he
did. He have a poem this morning?
He did. Probably we did. Haven't heard it. We'll get to it later. No. But I hope he had a few last night.
All right.
I don't know if Doug does the.
What do you mean?
Well, he does live in St. Louis. Everybody has to drink alcohol, right? You have to drink beer if you.
No,
live
you
in
don't
St.
have
Louis.
To. No, there you are have some to. People.
No, no, no.
That
it's
don't.
Part of your birth certificate.
Oh, in St. Louis?
Oh, yeah.
You mean?
No,
oh, sure.
In St. Louis, okay. And you will drink.
Keith,
Budweiser.
It's looking better now.
What's looking better?
St. Louis. Got to drink. You have to.
No, I'm telling you, I've been there. It's awful. It's awful. Never go back. Ever.
Ever. Clay's in Salem. Hey, Clay.
Hey, guys. Good morning. How you doing?
Doing okay.
Hey, I just want to say thank you to Dale and Keith. I listened to the show yesterday. It was a great show.
Thank you.
You guys were talking about bringing spare sets of clothes to work because you'd be partying all night.
Yeah.
So after I heard that, I bet every set I own on the Blues to win the game.
And nice.
Thanks, guys.
How much you win?
Me a good
How much?
Change.
Because I'm guessing every set you own was, what, $2, $3?
For inside hockey information,
what'd you
I
get?
Go to Dale and Keith.
How much money did
Excellent.
You make?
Everybody know that.
How much?
Inside information,
how much
Dale
money
and Keith, they always have
Clay.
The greatest production.
Clay.
How much money did you make?
How much did you bet?
I'm taking a vacation, guys.
How much did, how much did
so
you win, Clay?
You're going to St. Louis?
Three figures, friends.
Yeah,
going to St. Louis.
You did.
There you go.
Thank you, guys. Dale and Keith.
That's good. I appreciate it.
He knows the name
it.
Of the show, at least. You got to respect that. Nice job, Clay. Glad
Hockey
you,
Insiders,
glad you're able to win.
Dale and Keith, I think is what the whole line of the show should be.
I got the Warriors tonight, if you want to take another bet. I got the Warriors
Excellent.
Over the Raptors tonight. That's what I'm thinking.
So, Clay, double down.
Money man.
Got a hunch, bet a bunch, Clay.
He says, that one guy made $100,000. See that ticket going around?
He did. Good for him.
Grand.
And refused to take the buyout, which was for pretty substantial money.
He knew.
There was another person who made a bet on January 16th, and they won $50,000 on a $200 bet.
Unbelievable.
That's what I was looking for. That's what I'm looking for.
That's what you got to do. What you got to do right now is you got to bet all of your money on...
the Boston Red Sox.
Yeah.
It's time.
Like the Royals.
Go right at it, okay?
Yeah.
I mean, you did
now,
see
the
them.
Red Sox
you did see them with,
bad,
you know, a guy on their shoulders.
No, you got to go like Orioles. You got to be like, Orioles are turning this thing around. Put like $200
Seattle's
on the
another
Orioles.
One. I was looking actually earlier. Just looking at the plus 20, you know... Yeah. 2,500. That's what you need.
I hear you.
617-779-7937. John Buchegrass at 11:30. Dale and Keefe, Sports Radio, WE.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
Yeah. All right, let's give you a couple of TV numbers from last night. In Boston, the game did a 30.2 rating, 48 share. It was the highest NHL rating in Boston in 6 years. The previous high to that was the cup-clinching game in 2013 when Chicago clinched the cup. That did a 33. But listen to the numbers for St. Louis.
So a lot of people watched Marchand suck.
Yeah. In St. Louis, they did a 41.8 rating and a 60 share.
They got nothing else.
That means 6 out of every 10 households in the market that were watching television were tuned into Game 7. The 41.8 rating in St. Louis exceeded the rating in St. Louis for the Super Bowl, which did a 39.8 for Rams-Patriots. And
They were boycotting the Super Bowl.
Well,
they lost
not
their
that
team.
Much. They did a 39.8.
Well,
but
it's still the Super Bowl.
But they did a 41.8 rating and a 60 share. Now, I don't understand all the vagaries of TV ratings.
No. A lot of people watched.
If they hadn't had a whole bunch of people in Enterprise Center and a whole bunch of other people in Busch Stadium.
Well, they probably counted them.
Presumably, they'd have been home watching on TV, right?
I don't know. These people might not have TVs. That's why they had to go to a baseball stadium to watch a game. That is so pathetic. I still can't believe that. Going to a baseball stadium to watch a hockey game on the big screen.
Well,
how clear could you see? Or maybe I just have bad eyesight. But the idea of sitting at Fenway Park and watching a whole game on the screen in center field, that is awful.
Yeah, I don't know what the appeal is. I guess it's, you just want to be with fellow fans. And
that's a crazy thing, too. A
couple of times. I saw on Twitter last night a few times the video from the stadium, you know, like when they scored a goal.
Yeah.
It was pretty nuts in there.
Was it raining?
And it was raining. It was miserable.
That sucks.
They're drinking $13 Budweisers.
Not worth it. Not worth it.
And away they go.
But now they got the cup, so good for them.
617-779-7937 is the telephone number. Eddie's on the cell phone. Hey, Eddie.
Hey, good morning.
Eddie.
You know, that was really tough. Hey, a couple of things I have.
All right.
I don't blame Tuca, but I got to tell you, you know, one of the goals, like you said earlier, you know, there wasn't a whole lot he could do about it. But it's sure with the time to step up. And the other thing is this. When you think about this team, the Bruins, they went up 1-0 in the series. They lose game 2 at home. Then they come home and after winning game 4 and even the series up, they come home and play a pivotal game 5 at home. They lose that game. So when we go back and look at the series and we look at how the number one line really was kind of flat through the Stanley Cup Finals, should we be surprised that St. Louis, a 9-3 team on the road, coming into Boston for a game 7, we should have saw this coming. And after they went up 2-0, it just sucked the life out of me. And at that point, I kind of felt like, you know what, it's over. And I just kind of watched the game just to watch it. Was kind of hoping that in the second period that they would make a move, because I felt like whoever scored the next goal when the Bruins were down 2-0, that was going to decide the way the game was going to go. And it was tough to watch. It was sad. Very sad.
It was sad. It was.
Did you have a sad?
I was sad.
Okay, I was sad.
Why wouldn't you be sad?
I was sad. I will
but
say
it wasn't even
that,
like, you weren't even on the edge of your seat at all.
No,
it was like they
I
just
do
took
think
it
that
from
the
you.
TV number in Boston was affected by the fact that you just felt, I'm sure the TV audience dropped as the night went on.
Third period,
because
people were
you just
bailing.
Felt you had no
yeah,
chance
you get frustrated.
Of coming
yeah.
back.
Frustrating.
It got 2-0 and you thought they're done. It got 3-0 and you said, you know they're
That's
done.
It. That's when you go the old remote throw. You toss that thing aside and then maybe the game's still stuck on. Maybe it bounces and hits another channel. I don't know. you just leave the room anyway.
Is the remote throw part of your bag of tricks?
It used to be. But you can only go through so many remotes until you learn. Like, well, it's not the remote's fault. You know, grow up a little bit. So I don't throw remotes anymore.
Fios is really, no. Mr. Keefe, another one?
I'll tell you what the thing is. This is the best kind of cure-all. Whenever you're upset about something, scream into a pillow until you're hoarse. That is the best way.
Works for Brett Hall.
Yeah.
He just doesn't use the pillow.
And you know what? When I was little, you know what I would do? This was a thing that would like get out like stress or anything like that, is hammer nails. My dad would set me up with like a block of wood with a bunch of nails and give me a hammer. And then I would just go to town on these nails. And I think it's really helped
You had anger management issues as a
little guy.
Kid.
I was just a little guy. They like lined me up. They're like, all right, here, don't break anything. Here, hammer these nails. And it absolutely works. If you're right now having a hard time with your rage issues out there, get a block of wood, get a whole bunch of nails, and just hammer the hell out of those nails.
Don't make it your kitchen table. I'm just saying. Now, that's outside, a bad plan.
Take it outside, but get a whole bunch of nails, a hammer. I don't care if you're 4 years old. Get out there and hammer nails. And if that doesn't work, scream yourself hoarse into a pillow.
Go with the ladder there, because I don't think angry Bruins fans today should have a hammer in their hand,
nails,
or wood anywhere near them.
It's really, like, it helps.
No, this is what my parents used to do for us when we were building our barn.
You hammered nails?
Yes,
too?
They would have us go out and help because of the anger issues, yeah. And we would just smash them. And it's satisfying, and it doesn't do any damage. It helps.
It absolutely helps. I might get a block of wood and a whole bunch of nails.
Just go to town.
Today.
A little bit later on.
Do it work.
I would think that what you would do is just go home and have a sit and have a craft beer.
I know, but there's still some leftover anger problems there, right? Like, that should be, because then I don't want to associate the beer with just negativity all the time. That should be like a positive environment.
There has to be like a smashing element.
Yes, something needs to be broken. I need to break something.
Something must be broken.
And it might be Rossi's spirit. That's what it's going to be by the end of the day.
You were, let's be honest, threatening some serious bodily harm earlier.
Rossi turned into an ultimate troll. I'm going to tease that. I'm not doing that now. Rossi turned into the ultimate troll last night. We'll get into that later in the program. But I couldn't believe my eyes when I saw what Rossi was doing.
617-779-7937 is the telephone number. John Bucciagrass at 1130. Dale and Keefe, Sports Radio, WEEI.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.